coaches are getting poached again. Does that frustrate you, or is it a sense of pride?
Right now, I'm looking at it as trying to get ready for the playoffs and trying to get ready for the Chargers. Now, there's a process in place to handle all those things. Whatever it is, and we'll see how it goes.
Dale Arnold.
You got a tight end who has been as good who has ever played the position, but sure doesn't look at this year. Right. I don't think he'll be here next year.
I could see him walking away and doing, you know, something else.
Rich Keefe.
The L.A. Chargers, we're going to be talking about them next Monday after they whip New England.
You go into the game and feel like you got three or four good keys. Maybe.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Did you set him up for
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Bill's in on keys now.
So you gave a quick call to Bill and said, hey, Bill.
Belichick likes
the keys.
Just want
to run through a couple of keys with you if you don't mind.
He might. Maybe he'll be a part of the keys on Friday. Who knows?
Ooh.
Maybe Bill could be in there.
There's a major league tease.
Maybe Bill's one of the keys to the game.
Can I ask you a quick nuts and bolts football question?
Because you're asking the right guy.
You're my go-to source.
You're asking the right guy.
Has there ever been a worse call in the history of football at any level than the fake field goal attempt?
It didn't seem like everybody was on board there in Alabama and really what the plan was.
Here's an idea. Why don't you just line everybody up and run it on fourth down? Because that would have had a hell of a lot better chance than that stupid play I
watched. Ball in that guy's hands, though, Dale, and magic could happen. I'm not really sure what the plan was there. Clemson seemed to be pretty prepared for it, and they didn't even have to be. They just kind of stood up.
I'll just
got
stand
that guy's
up
way.
You guys run into me.
Yeah. That was not smart.
I tweeted this out last night as I was watching the game, and as I was watching it, I suddenly realized that I am football fan in America on any weekend when I'm watching the Patriots play somebody else, where I'm rooting against the Patriots so hard.
Yeah, it's the same
not
thing.
Not enough bad things can happen to them. That I was that fan last night rooting against Alabama with all my might.
Yeah, it's easy to root for Alabama. And that comparison is true. I mean, you see the side-by-side when they do the seasons, wins, Super Bowls / national championships. Nick Saban is college Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick is pro Nick Saban. That's what it is, and they're best buds. They worked together before, and they just have these franchises set up that you see contenders come and go. Clemson looks like they have some staying power right now, but we'll see. You know, there have been other teams that you think are going to be Alabama's rival for a little while, like Ohio State or whoever, and then they kind of dip back down a little bit. But yeah, Bama, Patriots, very, very much the same program.
Trey Wingo, I think, had the stat on Twitter this morning, which blew me away. If you take the last four seasons combined in college football, both Alabama and Clemson are 55-4. Both.
I'm kind of surprised about the four, to be honest.
Both.
Well, that's because they played against each other.
Both have two national championships.
Yeah.
Both are 2-2 against each other.
Yeah, so there you go. So
I mean, they're the exact same program.
Wait, so does that mean there's four combined losses in 4 years to other teams?
To other teams.
Yeah. It's crazy. And they're just in their pro factories, too. And for a while, Alabama, when you looked at it, it didn't really translate to the pros. There's a lot of guys, but you remember how many whiffs there were? You're like, well, this guy kind of stinks, and this guy kind of stinks. And people are wondering, why doesn't Nick Saban have better pros? But that's really kind of leveled out, too. There's been, like, when it was like Trent Richardson and Mark Barron and all, you're like, well, this isn't very good. But there's plenty of them now. Like, Julio Jones is good, and Dante Hightower is good. There seems to be more and more guys. Clemson, meanwhile, is just, they feel like they always pump out really good pros.
Dwayne Allen, Hightower maybe today.
Yeah, those guys can get after each other a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, you watch the game. Do you like either one of those quarterbacks? Just as you're always kind of keeping
really
in mind.
I really like Trevor Lawrence a lot.
He's really good.
A kid who 12 months ago was planning for his senior prom.
Yeah, amazing.
And is winning a national championship.
I think it's three straight years now there's been a true freshman starting in the national title game, which is pretty crazy. But, yeah, I didn't think he was very good earlier in the season. Saw him play a couple times. Saw him play in the BC game. And I'm like, what's the hype of this guy?
Right.
Yeah, he's pretty
Besides
good.
Besides the hair.
Watched him last
the
night.
Hair's
yeah,
major
the sunshine.
League.
I got it.
But Kelly Olynyk, by the way, has already tweeted out, you know, saying, you know, good for the long-haired white boys out there.
Yes.
It's a small but mighty fraternity.
It's a little bit of a group, but good for those guys. But Tua got all the attention last year when he came into the national title game. Then he was the runner-up in the Heisman this year. I don't think he's going to be a good pro quarterback. I don't see it. I mean, I'm not exactly the QB whisperer, but I wouldn't want him. Because every time you watch college now, you're like, is this going to be the guy that replaces Brady? Like, you're always kind of looking, right? You're always like, could this be him? Could this be him? And Trevor Lawrence is a freshman, so he can't go to the NFL draft
two
for another couple
years
anyway.
Wait, and you think
that could line up well with Brady.
Well, it might, actually. Of course, then the Patriots would have to be bad enough to be able to draft him, because
right. Or
if he continues along this path, you're thinking
he's going to be a pretty high pick.
He's going to be right up there at the top.
Yeah. But they make trades. They get crazy at times.
Yeah, we heard that last year, too.
No, they did not.
They're going to get Baker Mayfield.
They can trade down. They know how to do that.
Real good at that. Trade out of the first round. If that works out, they can do that for you.
Yeah, not going to work. But it'll probably be Clemson, Alabama next year as well. So you can choose to watch it or not watch it next year because they'll be right back in the national title game again. They're going to be the same two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Same two coaches. Like, what's the
They said all the skill position players for Clemson are all back.
I also love how Alabama has a running back, Najee Harris, who was the top recruited running back in the country 2 years ago. He ran for like 2,700 yards his sophomore, junior, and senior year. Each year, he ran for like over 2,700 yards. And he's like their third guy. Yeah. They like mix him in a little bit. They only talked about him because he's from like the San Jose area. And you're like, what? Like, that's who comes off the bench for Alabama. So it's just a factory. They just get all the top recruits every year, and it's the same two teams.
And the running back for Clemson was the player of the year in Alabama.
Right.
Got out of Alabama and said, no, I'm not going to play there. I'm going to South Carolina.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Both those schools get guys from wherever they want. California, Florida,
all right,
Texas.
If that's true.
Yes.
And I tend to agree with you that, you know, Nick Saban is a selector. He's not a recruiter.
Right.
How come he doesn't select a better kicker?
Weird, right? That they have a horrible, horrible kicker.
I mean, awful.
Horrible now, kicker, one of the
he
worst.
Was, believe me, he had nothing to do with the loss last night. But
yeah.
You think about
it. Yeah,
it
didn't really matter.
For a selector school like Alabama,
yeah, it's weird.
Can't they select the best kicker in the country and say, yeah, I want you?
Yeah, probably. You would think so, but I don't know. Maybe they you know, use their time and money, let's say, and efforts on other players.
Money?
Well, no. I mean,
what?
Well, you know, to travel, to visit these
gotcha,
kids
yeah.
and then do things like that. That's probably what they do. They're a little bit more worried about all the five-star guys. But maybe next year, actually, maybe they will decide, you know what, this isn't working.
I missed it. I freely admit that I missed the Bill Belichick interview with Tom Rinaldi on the pregame show, but I saw Ryan Hannibal wrote about it on WEEI.com, where basically Belichick said that Nick Saban is a more serious taskmaster than he is.
I wonder if Nick would say the same thing about Bill, though. You never know. But when you hear that, if that's to be true, it actually kind of makes sense that Saban, maybe there's a shelf life for players. Like, can you imagine?
Yeah, the 3 years that you have to play for him.
Like, the best players are only there for 3 years, and then someone there for four. And then I guess if you happen to redshirt, maybe they're for five. So I mean, you're talking about a max of 5 years dealing with Nick Saban, whereas Brady and Belichick have been together for almost 20 years. So maybe if Nick Saban is that much more harsh than Bill Belichick is, how many guys would even want to be around him in their second year? So maybe just another reason why college is the perfect place for him.
Belichick was asked, who's the more demanding coach? His answer was, Nick. I think I might just have a little more patience than Nick.
He's got more patience than Nick Saban.
Whoa. I would not suggest that patience is one of the primary attributes for Bill Belichick.
He has no patience. Well, that no patience worked out for him last year in the national title game where he benched his starting quarterback in the game. He didn't have any patience for him, and it ended up working out.
You know what?
So,
you've got to come over here with me.
You're done. We're going with this other guy. But yeah, he's maybe it makes sense. You know, just 3 years, 3-4 years, and then you don't have to see him again.
It was not a particularly good game.
Terrible game.
You know,
hope you had the over.
The first quarter, you're thinking, God, these teams are going to score 100 apiece.
Oh, yeah.
Like, couldn't stop anybody.
Yeah, pick six right away, and you're like, okay.
And it's like 16-13, and you're thinking, okay, a good, tight, fun game back and forth. And then 31 straight points later.
But I'm with you. I think most people are happy that Alabama lost. It's
just,
it's always Alabama.
Anybody outside of Alabama is happy that they lost, in the same way that anybody outside of New England is rooting like crazy for the Chargers this weekend.
Everybody's rooting for the Chargers. Yep. Whether they be from San Diego. Actually, do you think people in San Diego are rooting for the Chargers?
No. San Diego, probably not.
Maybe they're Patriots fans this weekend, too. But yeah, just enough is enough. And at least with Alabama, you're rooting against different players every couple of years. With the Patriots, you've been rooting against the same guy for 20 years. So it's even worse. Like, your analogy, like, yeah, we're all rooting against Alabama. And it is Saban, so that's true. But it's been different quarterbacks.
Just like rooting against Belichick.
But it's been all these different running backs.
Yeah.
It's been all these different guys. Whereas the Patriots, they at least have had the same quarterback every single time in the playoffs when you've been rooting against them.
So everybody around here is hanging their hat on the fact that the Patriots have never won the Super Bowl in the same year that Alabama won the national championship. So they're saying, okay.
Oh, good.
Doors
good
open.
Good news.
Here we go.
I was unaware of that stat. Add that to the keys. Add that to the pile.
Sorry, I didn't mean to steal that one
that's
from
a good
you
one.
For Friday.
So Super Bowl's back on.
Alabama doesn't win the national title.
Okay.
Patriots do win the Super Bowl.
That's good news. good news. Those, thank you, Clemson. Now they got a now they got a real opportunity here.
Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah, what a guy. I'm surprised there's no NFL rumors with Dabo.
Never. His name never comes up.
No. Maybe he just doesn't want it out there. Because some of these coaches might just want it out there. You never know. Maybe he's just like, this is what I'm doing. And he's maybe never wavered off of it. And they just say, okay.
Now, maybe he's smart enough to realize, look at the track record.
It's terrible.
He's got a wagon. I mean, he's got an empire.
Yeah. Oh, he's just getting stud after stud in there. So he doesn't need to go anywhere. And the college coaches make so much money.
They make so much more money. It's not even funny. If you look at it, it's like even this McDaniels deal here with the core as a coordinator, he's making head coach money here. And it's still not even hold a candle to his amount of money he can make in college.
Right. Yeah, those top guys make whatever they want.
Now, it's funny because look at a guy like Cliff Kingsbury, who basically got fired by Texas Tech.
I would look at a guy like Cliff Kingsbury.
So he's handsome. That too.
Handsome.
By the way, Lucy, I ran your comparison by my wife last night when I got home. And she did acknowledge that Cliff Kingsbury is a handsome man. She, by the way, totally rejects the Ryan Gosling comparison.
I see a little bit of Ryan Gosling,
I was looking at a ton of
pictures of him yesterday, and it was actually a little bit of a challenge to find one that proved my point. He doesn't photograph particularly well.
And my wife actually, because I showed her the comparison photograph you had, she said, I'd take Brady in that side-by-side.
I'd still take Cliff, but my man Cliff.
Cliff. Cliff with a K.
This was the Cliff we've all been wondering about.
This was
the Cliff for Brady.
This was well done, Jason.
Lucy, you've done it. You,
thank you.
Let's call Max Kellerman.
All this build-up. Max Kellerman, years in the waiting.
So Cliff Kingsbury gets fired at Texas Tech. USC says he was not retained. I know. USC says, all right, yeah, come on. We'll let you call the plays here. He's there for a couple of months. Now he's the hottest thing in the NFL coaching carousel. He interviews with the Jets yesterday.
I think he was hired in December. Like, he's been there a month. And that's so funny because the rumor, Dale, was, oh, well, McDaniels is probably gone, so the Patriots are interested in him as an offensive coordinator. Well, screw that.
Yeah.
He's getting head coaching opportunities now.
He interviews with the Jets yesterday.
Right.
He's with the Arizona Cardinals today. Bert Breer, NFL Network, basically said word around the NFL circles over the weekend was, the Arizona job is Cliff's if he says yes.
Wow. I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't, unless he feels like, hey, I'm not, I mean, because what is he, 39 years old? He's been a head coach at Texas Tech, and then he's a coordinator for a couple of years. He was a coordinator, actually, at A&M for a year. Actually, I think he had Johnny Manziel for one of those years. And then he was at Houston, and then he hasn't even started this job. Why not? You know, I think this is an opportunity where you probably could grab whatever job you want and still, if it fails, come back later on. Like, we were talking about Josh McDaniels, not in that scenario. Josh McDaniels did that when he went to Denver, did whatever he could there, didn't work out, and still could have gotten another job, could have had a job last year. Cliff Kingsbury's in a spot where he doesn't have to be super choosy. If he wants to just get his foot in the door, be an NFL head coach, it also depends on how much does he like Josh Rosen.
Well, let me ask you this. Put yourself in Cliff Kingsbury's very handsome shoes
for a
moment. I would
love
to
try, sure.
So, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, would you rather have Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen? Now, you are inexplicably attached to the quarterback. I mean, you take a head coaching job,
yes.
The quarterback better be right for you.
I personally would rather have Sam Darnold.
I would too.
I'm not super confident in that, but I would rather have Sam Darnold.
Josh Rosen doesn't do a lot for me.
No, that's fair. But also, the expectations...
He, by the way, could have a savage tan, though, living in Arizona. Huh?
Oh, he would look... Oh, my gosh.
Please. He would glow.
Half the reason he went to Southern Cal. Like, he was kidding me. This guy would look great. But going to New York, there has to be something about the media pressure, fan pressure, not just media. I mean, it's not like the media is that tough, but I'm just saying media, fans, expectations, pressure. Like, can you handle New York? Like, we've heard other coaches talk about that, coaching in New York.
Don't you think all those guys are so supremely confident? Pfft, handle New York. Of course I can handle New York.
Yeah, maybe. Like, did Bowles handle New York fine? Like, I don't even really know the answer to that. But some of those guys, they might think they could be able to do it. But you go out to Arizona, does anybody care? Does anybody care at all what happens? Like, just... Not really.
See, if I'm one of those A-type personalities, which
yeah,
I assume Kingsbury is,
yeah, maybe he is,
I would hate that.
What, I, going to where
to
nobody
go to,
is?
Where nobody,
yeah.
Who cares? I mean, don't you
well,
want
depends.
That buzz, that juice? Now, I don't think the Jets are that good either, but I think they're better than Arizona.
I don't think
Sam Darnold is great, but I think he's better than Josh Rosen.
I think the Jets is not a terrible job. which is weird to say. It's like a bizarro year. The Browns is the best job. The Jets is like a decent job. And all these other ones, like I'd say no thanks to. But either way, I mean, you got a rookie quarterback, so you're going to be tied in. Like the expectation now is Sean McVay, Jared Goff. That, you see that, you say Jared Goff did not look great as a rookie, then, oh my God, the guy's the man because they're calling the right plays for him and he looks pretty good. If Kingsbury goes to one of those two jobs, that's the hope, is that he takes a rookie quarterback that had more downs than ups and is able to turn the guy into a Pro Bowler.
So is it possible that the coordinator most likely to leave the Patriots is not a coordinator? That Brian Flores has a better chance of getting a head coaching job than Josh McDaniels, who basically was considered for two jobs, the Green Bay Packers and the Cleveland Browns.
Because he turned down Cincinnati.
He didn't want to interview.
Out of the eight jobs, there was two that it looked like, and probably the two best jobs.
I think so. I think Cleveland is the best.
Cleveland and Green Bay probably
the
two best.
So the Green Bay job disappears yesterday with word that Matt LaFleur will go from the offensive coordinator of the Rams. Supposedly, Sean McVay really lobbied hard. You got to give this guy a chance. You got to let this guy be a head coach, which you kind of respect in a way. I mean, it's hurting his staff, but he's trying to do right by his friend.
No, he was on the Titans.
Titans. But supposedly it was McVay who was saying, this is the guy.
Well, so because he was with the Rams last year.
Right.
And then he was with the Titans this year. And I'm sorry. He had Derrick Henry on his team, who is built like a Hummer. And they never handed him the ball for 12 weeks. And then at the end of the year...
He was fresh, though.
All of a sudden, he's the best running back in the NFL. Like, you had this guy on your team the whole time. He had these three games at the end of the year, three or four games at the end of the year, where you couldn't stop him. He looked like Adrian Peterson from his prime. And you said, was he hurt? No. Was he on the pup list? Like, no. He was available all season, and you didn't give him the ball. Their offense was in the bottom of the league, passing, rushing, points, yards, whatever you want to say, at the bottom of the league. And then I love that everybody say, well, now he's going to Green Bay, and he's going to be able to challenge Aaron Rodgers intellectually. I was like, what? Like, that's what he's going to do? They're going to be able to give each other brain teasers? That's going to be the big thing for Matt LaFleur.
Rubik's Cube competition.
I was like, give me a break. Like, he's just another one of these guys. He's a young guy. I think he's the same age as Cliff Kingsbury. This is the model. I guess I don't hate it. I just would have expected a little bit better of a track record. Like, that's something that you can clearly see. It's very similar to the Minnesota Vikings offensive coordinator, whatever the hell is it. The guy who got fired, like, right after the Patriots game.
Yeah.
DeFilippo. He was there. And
Gene DeFilippo's kid, John DeFilippo.
Yeah. So he was the guy who, during the Patriots game, the broadcasters are saying, hey, this is going to be a hot name in head coaching. Look at this offensive coordinator, the young offensive coordinator. That's what everybody wants. He doesn't run the ball ever. Dalvin Cook is averaging like 8 yards a pop. Doesn't hand it to him anymore. It's like, let's pass. Post game, Zimmer's like, I don't know why we don't run the ball more. And then a week later, they fire that guy. And so I feel like LaFleur is the same thing.
Isn't that why he's going to Green Bay, though?
Why? So he can...
Aaron Rodgers can just throw...
I guess, throw 45
times a game?
But Derrick Henry, am I crazy or what? Derrick Henry all of a sudden looked like a guy that was the greatest running back in the world for like 3 weeks.
He was averaging 10 carries for the first 6 weeks of the season. Then he just kind of fell off a map. He's getting like 9-8 carries a game. Obviously, game flow, we can't tell. But then at the end of the game, he was getting 20 to 30.
He had a 40-yard rushing game against the Jets. The next week, he ran for 238 yards and four touchdowns.
Why don't you
mix him in a little bit? Why don't you give him the ball?
And the next week, he gets 33
carries for 170 yards and two touchdowns.
That's unheard of in the NFL, 33 carries.
And then even the last 2 weeks, he had 84 yards, 93 yards. Like, his four best weeks of the season were the last four games. So what, like a light bulb went off for LaFleur? What happened there?
Hey, I didn't know he was on the team.
Guys, I thought he was a defensive lineman. We can use him? Holy, I was just handing the ball to Deion Lewis every play.
The head coaching openings that were coming up. He's like, I gotta work this thing around.
Oh, my God. Now, to be fair, I don't think Marcus Mariota is great, so I'm not expecting him to have a top 10 offense. But what were they in points, like 27th? I mean, that's not the
room to grow,
thing in the world.
Keith. Room to grow.
Yeah, I guess so.
Over the weekend, Mike Florio said, well, the Patriots are kind of expecting Josh McDaniels is going to move on, and Cliff Kingsbury could be the guy who comes into New England as the offensive coordinator.
And now he's going to take jobs away from McDaniels.
So now, apparently, McDaniels is down to one possibility. And by the way, I think it's the one that makes the most sense for him if he does leave.
It's the best job available, so by the Packers taking away LaFleur, that kind of could help McDaniels out
So let's say Josh takes the Cleveland job, just for the sake of our argument.
Okay.
Well, Kingsbury's not coming in to be your OC, apparently, because he's going to have his choice of head coaching jobs. So now what do you do?
Chad O'Shea. Keep it in-house, right?
Which is what they'll do.
Yeah, keep it in-house. Unless there's another name. Like, Kingsbury, I wasn't even thinking of, but that's a really fascinating one. Like, is there another guy? Like, did Kevin O'Connell get into coaching? Did any of these other guys? Did Rohan Davey coach somewhere? Can we get one of those guys?
The only other guy that I've heard anything about.
Damon Heward, is he coach?
Michael Bishop.
Just these old quarterbacks. You guy can zip it. He can really zip it.
What about Jim Bob Cooter?
What about him? Did you see the Lions play this year?
What about him?
Before this year,
like
though.
His name, Rossi.
I mean, I do.
If his name was Jim Davis, you never would have brought him up.
You wouldn't be able to pick him out of a police lineup, but you love the name.
I've seen his Google image or two. Lucy was looking up Cliff Kingsbury, I was over here at Jim Bob Cooter.
So the Lions have an atrocious year.
This year.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
But Jim Bob Cooter, the past 4 years, had been one of the best offenses in the league.
I don't want Jim Bob Cooter.
How fun is it to say his name?
It's great. Let's get him on the show, but we don't need him, you know, coaching the offense for the Patriots. I think it'll probably be in-house. I mean, when was the last time they've gone outside to hire somebody? I mean, they brought in Dom Capers that 1 year.
When they thought Belichick was going to be suspended for a year.
And even then, he wasn't a coordinator, right? He was just like an assistant.
But the thought was, if we need a head coach, you know, we can slide him in there.
Exactly. But you think about the guys like from Weiss and, you know, Bill O'Brien and Josh McDaniels. On the other side, you got like Romeo Crennel and Eric Mangini, Dean Pease. Like, those guys had all been on the staff, I believe. So my guess would be Chad O'Shea. Although, listen, I mean, Matt LaFleur's name to the Packers, I don't remember reading that. Then he went there.
All of a sudden, it's like he's got the job.
So maybe Kingsbury doesn't get a head coaching job. It feels like he kind of will right now, but maybe he doesn't. And then maybe he does end up here.
Manish Mehta will let him depart New York over his dead body.
No, Manish, he's going to do whatever he can to keep him.
You know, he thinks Cliff Kingsbury is more handsome than Lucy does. That's Manish Mehta wants Cliff Kingsbury in New York in the worst way.
Yes, he does, very much.
Probably Sam Darnold does too, right? He's thinking, I'd get a lot better.
But yeah, I think he would. But don't you think, so the Sean McVay route seems like that's the trendy way of hiring a head coach, and I get it. But doesn't that also put a lot of pressure on those guys, like whether Kingsbury gets a job or Matt LaFleur, to a lesser extent McDaniels, because he's at least had a job before. But the offense, the young offensive coordinator, if they don't turn it around quickly, you're saying, well, this guy could do it. How come you couldn't do it? So that's going to be interesting to see how this trend plays out.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis will join us at 11:30 today. We'll talk about the playoff game this weekend for the Patriots against the Chargers and some of the league issues as well. We have a Kiefer Madness at 12:30
today.
That's
right. First of 2019, I believe.
It's sort of a lot of import.
True? I don't even know if that's true.
It's true.
It's damn true.
You know, just say it. Who's going to question it? You could just...
I know, but I like to be right.
For politicians,
you know,
just say it.
I like to get
it. Doesn't matter
right.
If it's right or not. Just say it.
All right, fair enough. First of the year.
Yeah, the first of the year. And the best there has ever been.
Oh, Dale, don't do that.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
The Patriots' march to Atlanta starts right here as they get ready to do battle with the Chargers. React and talk about it right now. Now back to Dale and Keith on Sports Radio WEEI.
I read that you interviewed 85 potential assistants, and Nick was your first hire. Why?
Well, because it was the most important one. Somebody to run the defense and somebody that, you know, that I had confidence in.
Bill Belichick with Tom Rinaldi last night on ESPN in the pregame show, in which Nick Saban was his first hire when he was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. There's somebody on Twitter, works out on the West
loser.
Coast.
Not at all.
She works out on the West Coast for, she used to work for the NFL Wire and Patriots Wire and NBC Sports Boston, but she had a tweet a little while ago that I got a kick out of. It says, good morning. There is a world in which Trevor Lawrence's NFL eligibility coincides perfectly with Tom Brady's retirement.
Telling you.
And that's what a lot of people are thinking. They were watching last night's game and they were saying, I don't know if Belichick would love the hair, but everything else about this guy's game he'd like a lot, I bet.
I bet he cuts the hair at some point. I bet he does.
They all do.
They all do. Some of them kind of have to. Some of them, you know. What if he got drafted by the Yankees? They didn't have to.
I don't care anymore, but back then they cared.
Oh, okay. All right.
So back in the day, because I was Father of the Year, I once had self-proclaimed Father of the Year.
I don't know how official any of these awards are.
I was at a Hanson concert with my 8-year-old daughter.
Hanson?
Hanson.
The Mbop guys?
What was then Great Woods, yes. I don't know. It goes through so many different names. But
Were they the headlining act?
Yes. They were. And
what?
And banged the place out, I might add.
They saw it that week. That week.
When was this?
Oh, God, I don't know. Well,
mid-90s.
She was about 8. She's about 20 years ago.
That's amazing that they were able to sell out, because that's a big venue. That's like 16,000.
I don't know how big it is.
You're getting caught up in the wrong details. Yeah, Dale was at a Hanson concert.
So, who cares if they sold it out or not? I was at a Hanson concert because that's the only way my 8-year-old was going to get to go see the Hanson concert.
You'd say, I'll pick you up at 8?
No. You know what I said? I'll be out here in the parking lot, honey. So I was at the Hanson concert.
All right.
And the drummer, Isaac Hanson, is Trevor Lawrence.
They look identical, huh?
I mean, back in the day, he has, as to your point, he's now cut his hair, doesn't look anywhere like that.
He had
to
grow up a little bit.
But
not
back
a rock
then,
star anymore.
He looked just like Trevor Lawrence did last
night.
And
I like the comparisons to Sunshine from Remember the Titans, because he was a quarterback, didn't look like him. Great quarterback, long hair, the whole thing. But yeah, he's, at least from watching last night, he seems like the real deal. And so who knows? Could he be the next quarterback of the New England Patriots?
A 19-year-old true freshman.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Who looked like, you know, he was a junior or a senior in that program.
Well, they made the starter that was there. Was he a junior or senior?
He transferred.
I got to go. He's like, well, this guy, this isn't fair. I didn't sign up for any of this.
He's not playing against, like, East Overshoe here last night. He's playing against Alabama, and he's making them look silly.
Yeah. He made Alabama look worse than BC.
Justin Ross helped him. Make them look silly.
Oh, there were some guys that helped him. Oh, for sure.
He had some help.
He does have some good teammates around him. But, yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. But you got to wait a couple years. Unless he leaves early and goes to the XFL, Rossi. That's what you need. That's what would get that league
suggest, going. That could be it.
I'm going to suggest that he might.
If he wants to go play pro. There's
hold
no,
off for the NFL.
There is no chance the XFL would pay more than Clemson. No chance.
No way. They can't possibly.
The AAF pay more than Bama? No. You're staying in the SEC, the ACC, the Pac-12, Big 12.
If you were
Big
watching
10.
The game last night, part of you, if you're a Patriots fan and you're watching the game, part of you is thinking, okay, he's got to play 2 more years.
Oh, yeah. That's how
Brady's
I watch every college
play
game.
Two more years.
I'm like, this guy,
okay,
how good is this guy?
I could see that guy as the next quarterback of the Patriots.
But then, like you said, the other part of that is, how do you get up the draft board that high? I don't think the team is going to be nearly that bad in 2 years. So the question is,
well, they're never going to be bad enough. With Brady and Belichick, they're never going to be bad enough to be at the top of the draft.
No chance. And, you know, and even if the way the Colts got Andrew Luck was Peyton Manning got hurt and they had nobody else and they just were a dump and they just said,
and
forget
they sucked
it.
For Luck.
They didn't care. Right. Whereas even if you lost Brady, like say another season injury happened, you still wouldn't be 3-13, which would probably is what you're going to have to be, or 2-14. To get the number one pick. So they would need to just continue to add picks, which they always do, and then trade way up. That might be the way they get their next guy. You know, I don't think it's going to be signing a free agent from somewhere else, because good quarterbacks don't generally get away. And if they do, there's a reason for it. You know, like Drew Brees, or I don't know, there's really not that many examples of like really good quarterbacks. Like, look at the guys who are left right now. Philip Rivers, drafted by the Chargers. Well, technically drafted by the Giants, but you know, he was acquired on draft night. Patrick Mahomes, drafted by the Chiefs. Of course, Tom Brady, drafted here. Andrew Luck, number one pick. Like, those are those guys. Drew Brees, different circumstance. He had an injury, plus they drafted Philip Rivers, so then he moved on, but he goes to the Saints. Who are the other guys? Jared Goff, you know, first overall pick. He goes there. Dak Prescott, not a first-round pick, but a guy that they drafted. So they were able to get them in there. And then Nick Foles is sort of a bizarre one, to be sure. But the guy that they want starting was the number 2 overall pick. So you get the idea that if your future quarterback will likely come through the draft, it's not going to be somewhere else.
And he will, assuming there's no catastrophic injury or anything like that, after he plays 2 more years at Auburn, at Clemson, they're going to be really good. You know, they're probably going to be in the contention for another national title.
I would imagine, yeah.
He's going to be the first or second pick in the draft.
I would think so. I mean, I don't know the whole draft class and everybody else, but that's what it feels like. Seems like there's more good, right now anyway, there's more good college quarterbacks that aren't eligible for the draft than are. For this upcoming draft, I mean. Like, this doesn't seem very good. The kid from Oregon, I think it's Justin Herbert, he was, like, everybody's top quarterback in the field, like Mel Kiper and Todd McShay. He's going back for his senior season, so now you cross him off the list. It's not a great group. It's like the Ohio State quarterback, Haskins, and Will Grier from West Virginia. It's not a very good group. But I don't think the Patriots need that guy just yet.
No.
Right? I mean,
A couple of years is just about right.
I think Brady's going to be back next year. My bigger issue would be find Brady an elite wide receiver rather than finding Brady's backup, at least for next year.
Oh, for next year.
That's how I view it.
I mean, you don't need that because you've got Brian Hoyer.
Oh, you are set. That's true. Etling? Think about this. A full year on the practice squad.
Whoa.
Yeah. Learning a lot of tricks of the trade, I would say.
Maybe they'll just make Brian Hoyer the offensive coordinator. Let Danny Etling be the backup.
You know what? I wouldn't rule that out. I would rather Brian Hoyer be my offensive coordinator than my starting quarterback. That's for sure.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
The timetable from that perspective, from a Patriots fan's perspective,
yeah.
The timetable may be exactly right.
So what is that, the 2021 draft?
Yep.
All right, well, we're all looking forward to that. 2021
draft. And if you're in position to draft him?
Yes.
Things have probably not gone well here.
No, it would be trade, though. It would be trade. Like, if they, that's why it'll be interesting. The next couple of drafts, what do? Are they pushing forward to the next draft? We always know they trade down, but they also trade into the next year's draft. And if they keep doing that, all of a sudden, you know, look what the Raiders have done.
Trading Gronk to Detroit for their first round pick, and
although
Detroit sucks, and you get to draft your quarterback of the future.
I don't think Gronk's worth a first round pick anymore, sadly.
Anymore.
But
no, I know.
But like that's sort of the idea. Like, you trade some of those guys away, or just other picks, just so you can get into that draft. You know, Oakland's obviously going to have their own pick, which is great. But look at all the other moves that they made. Dumb moves, but Khalil Mack, you're getting a first round pick. Amari Cooper, you're getting a first round pick. So all of a sudden, they can do whatever they want in the draft.
So Green Bay has multiple first-round picks this year.
Hmm.
What you've got to do is get in a position where you have multiple first-round picks. You know, 2 years from now, you have multiple first-round picks, and you can parlay those into what you need to get your quarterback of the future.
Right. That's it. And they've done that before. They've had years. Now, they've had some years recently where they haven't had a first-round pick at all. Part of that is, you know, the league has taken them away. They also traded one away for Brandon Cooks. But you go back to the Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, they were both picks in the 20s, but they were still able to have a couple of first-round picks, use a couple of first-round picks there. Didn't it feel like, I mean, this past year they had two first-round picks. Was it 23 and 31?
Right.
But they traded Brandon Cooks away, so they got Isaiah Wynn and then Sony Michel. So the problem is, in the 20s there, if you really want a top five pick, a top five, that's going to be difficult, but it's not impossible.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Missy is in Framingham. Hey, Missy, how you doing? Oh, we got to hit a button. Hold on.
How you doing?
There we go.
Hey,
hi,
good.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I just want to say, and I know you guys have moved on, but, you know, the stuff you were saying about Derrick Henry and LaFleur, oh, my God, I was rolling. I was crying. You were cracking me up.
Oh, good.
Just, you know, in the last few games, all of a sudden, he realized, oh, hey, we have Derrick Henry. Let's run him. Give him the ball more. You know, that was just, that was priceless. And, I mean, he is a Heisman Trophy winner also, you know.
It's just bizarre. So I mean, they had him on the team all season. He was a second-round pick a couple of years ago. You'd think they would want to use him a little bit more. That's why I was surprised that all of a sudden Green Bay Packers were like, here's an offensive genius that we want. I did not expect that.
It definitely didn't make too much sense to me. And I mean, I knew he was on, you know, the Redskins for a while as a QB coach. But I like the stuff you're talking about now. But you know what's really, I'm really excited about? And you really can't, I like what, you know, Belichick said yesterday. You can't depend on the weather. And I think we can beat the Chargers regardless of what happens on Sunday. But if we do get that little element, you know, the elements going on Sunday, then I'm even feeling more confident. And I hope that Brady, you know, not Psycho Tom, but Playoff Tom, that's what I like to refer to him as. Hmm. We see a little bit of that out of him on Sunday, and I'm feeling pretty confident maybe 24-17, of course, the Pats.
Put it in the books.
So I'm just, really psyched.
Thank you.
How about that game last night, too? Oh. That was phenomenal.
That was. I mean, if you hate Alabama.
And that's pretty much everybody in Alabama.
It was. What do you think of the weather element to it?
Well, it's funny because I was listening to Bill Belichick on OMF yesterday, and he wasn't so much, you know, downplaying the weather as he was knocking weather people. meteorologists in general. He said it's too far out.
Ripping weather people.
They never get it right anyway. Yeah. I mean, Bill, come on. These are trained professionals.
Calling out meteorologists.
He was just killing them all. Pete Bouchard, everybody. He didn't do it by name, but that's who I think he meant.
Eric Fisher took him to task.
Everybody. Just, yeah. You know, there were some quotes. WEEI.com's got some quotes from some players who are kind of saying, you know, we kind of like a snow game.
I think a snow game would be great. I don't think it's as big of an advantage as you would assume when you're like, oh, here come the Chargers. Like, they're going to smack them around, and you envision LaDainian Tomlinson pounding on the bench and all that stuff. Because I think if both teams, let's say it was a blizzard. I don't know if it's going to be or not, but it's a blizzard, and it's really difficult to pass, and you just had to run. I think I would take Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler and that group over Sony Michel, Burkhead, and White. Don't you think? Like, if it was just, if it turned into a running game, and on top of it, who can stop the run? I think the Chargers probably have that advantage. So I'm all for a weather game, but I don't know if that just guarantees a victory for the Pats.
I don't think it necessarily guarantees a victory, but I do think that it's more difficult for a warm weather team or a dome team to come in here. Look, at the very least, we know it's going to be cold. Temperatures in the 20s, yeah. Wind chills below that. There's no way the LA Rams can prepare for that out there. You know, the Patriots are going to be outside all week on the practice field. And not that that means you won't be cold on Sunday. You're going to be cold either way.
It'll be chilly.
But as Rob Ninkovich pointed out, you know, they're going to know how to equip themselves. What do you say? Number 7 studs on the cleats.
Yeah, he's
talking
about like the difference between the molded and like the studs and all the stuff with the cleats, your footwear. Now, I would imagine they would pack everything. I mean, it's a playoff game. Like, they, when they say, like, bring everything, every possible, like, don't show up to the field and be like, oh, I wish I had my turf shoes.
My number 7 cleats.
Yeah, like, I don't think they should bring everything, but still, just more things they have to think about and everything else. And, yeah, some of the elements they're not going to be as used to, so that should help the Patriots. But, again, I think their running game is stronger than the Patriots is.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll talk to Willie McGinnis at the bottom of the next hour. Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:30. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
It's Middays with Dale and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. So I think it was Tom E. Curran. He linked to an article that was written by a guy named Mike Tanier, NFL national lead writer at BR NFL, Bleacher Report.
That's Bleacher NFL. Report. There it is.
And I think
Tomasi did a write-up on it as well, WEEI.com, where he takes the same article.
Yeah, and the headline of the article is, "His passing numbers don't lie. Tom Brady really is getting old." Now, this is make-your-teeth-hurt kind of next-generation statistical breakdowns. My son's a statistician.
Yeah.
He would find this tedious.
Keith Law type of stuff?
I mean, it was like,
that coward.
Your guy.
My guy.
Your guy, Keith Law.
He'd like that stuff.
So, as he points out, the NFL has been accumulating what they call next-gen stats.
Let's get into it.
Get this. They use motion-capture GPS technology.
So I might have to check out of this.
And as he points out, most of the data is strictly used strictly for novelty purposes, figuring out how fast Tyreek Hill runs for a touchdown in miles per hour and things like that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, I guess.
So what they've done is they've really broken down Tom Brady's numbers this year. For instance, time to throw. How many seconds elapsed before the throw? Per pass attempt, he's 7th in the NFL, 2.6 seconds per throw. Now, that seems kind of normal anyway.
Yeah.
He's a quick decision maker, gets rid of the ball quickly, you know, doesn't stand back there waiting for things to develop. So the fact that only 6 quarterbacks in the NFL get rid of the ball quicker than Tom doesn't surprise me at all.
But that's also a weird, like, that's also based on the offense, too. Like, so, for example, say a guy like Marcus Mariota, who throws the ball at the line of scrimmage all the time, he's going to be getting the ball away pretty quick, right? Because
right.
He's not throwing it downfield ever. So, like, though, like Alex Smith, at least for years, would never throw the ball downfield. So I'm sure he gets rid of it very quick because he's throwing, hitches and slants and all these quick passes. But anyway, continue.
All right, so Brady's average passing attempt travels 7.6 yards downfield.
Okay.
That's 24th in the NFL. His average completion travels just 5.6 yards, which is 23rd in the NFL.
So that stat to me is a little bit more interesting, but it also does talk about your offense and what you have going for you. So he throws the ball on average 7.5, whatever it says, yards down the field. All right, so which guys on this team would you like him to throw the ball deep down the field? And deep, I guess you could say anything like 15 plus. Like, how many guys would you really like to see him throw to? And then when you have somebody, James White caught like 80, 90 balls this year. How many of those were deep down the field? You know, so that's also kind of going to factor in. But okay, I'll hear that.
All right, so air yards to the sticks. How far in front of or past the first down marker the average pass attempt travels? Brady's is minus 1.1. In other words, his typical throw travels to a point 1.1 yards in front of the first down sticks. That's 21st in the NFL. I love this one. Aggressiveness. They use their little GPS gizmos.
Yeah, let's hear it.
And they try to figure out
how aggressive
the percent of passes thrown into tight windows.
Ooh, I like a tight window pass.
His figure is 13.9%, which is 27th in the NFL.
Well, that speaks to him saying how he doesn't want to throw.
Don't want to throw.
Yeah,
well,
these
no,
are different.
Thank you, but we're different stats here.
A little
here.
Different. So he has talked about it. He talked about it with Mutt and Jerry before about how he doesn't want to, really doesn't want to throw interceptions, and so he's not taking as many chances.
Now, as this writer points out, he throws and completes shorter passes than most other starting quarterbacks. The numbers back him up in this. He says, to give you an idea of what sort of company Brady kept in 2018.
Yes.
The two other quarterbacks who averaged 5.6 completed air yards this season were Case Keenum and Kirk Cousins.
Oh, boy. Case, oh.
Now,
those guys are terrible.
And to put it into further perspective, the quarterbacks with aggressiveness rates in the 14% range,
yeah,
which is where he was,
yeah,
include Russell Wilson, Nick Foles.
So winners, a couple of winners right there,
C.J. Beathard, what? Deshaun Watson, and Josh Allen.
That's weird. I don't know what to do with that stat. So C.J. Beathard tossed that one out. He didn't play a lot of games. Josh Allen is one of the least accurate quarterbacks in NFL history. And then those other guys, they all win games, though. So you're saying he's on a list with Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson and C.J. And Nick Foles? That's not bad company.
The bottom line, according to this author,
yes,
is that Brady's numbers, if you break down all of Brady's numbers, it suggests that he is not an all-pro, but a veteran game manager.
Here we go again with the game manager
A veteran game manager.
A veteran. Wouldn't you prefer a veteran game manager than a rookie game manager or a second-year game manager? Because part of the game manager tag is they don't make mistakes. They're smart. They're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna lose the game for you. That whole, all those cliches that go into it. But doesn't that make sense? Like if that's okay, he's a game manager. They still win a lot of games, right?
Oh, yeah. So he's pointing out that the Patriots have been compensating for Brady's limitations with run-heavy game plans. True. See week 16 against the Bills.
True.
Lots of screens and swing passes.
They've always done that.
James White led the team in both targets and receptions this year.
Okay, well, that's true. Edelman missed 4 games. Gordon played, what did Gordon end up playing, 11, something like that? The stats about the downfield stuff, you know, about completions and about attempts and everything else, it would be a little bit more alarming if Brandon Cooks was still on the team, right? Because if you remove Brandon Cooks, and that's what he does really well, he is a deep ball guy. So you take him off the team, how many more of these attempts were you supposed to have? Like, I feel like, maybe it sounds like I'm making excuses for Brady, but I think the personnel has a large part to do with these numbers.
Let's get to the nut graph of 10
years. Oh, we're not there yet?
Here it is. Quote,
he should retire.
Brady is old and his skills are slipping. The numbers don't lie. It's only controversial among those who don't want it to be true. There's still no quarterback in the NFL, no, not even Foles, more dangerous with the ball in his hands in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl than Brady.
Okay.
But this year, Brady is going to need more help than ever to get into that situation.
I don't know about more. Well,
Now, Tom E. Curran, okay, when he responded to this piece,
yes,
said his losing Brady losing Brandon Cooks and Danny Amendola and having a banged up Gronk are better explanations for the drop off in length of throw, etc., than Brady's birth date.
Brandon Cooks is the thing that jumps out to me immediately because, all right, so for the first 3 games of the year and then the last two, You didn't have Josh Gordon. And let's be honest, Josh Gordon, not exactly a burner anyway. So even when he was here, yeah, he could get the ball downfield, but he was also really good at kind of the catch and run, grab a slant, that's a short pass, and then get going with it. All the other guys, it's not like you're chucking the ball deep to anybody else. So if you're telling me if they had Tyreek Hill or if they had one of these other deep threat guys that Brady wouldn't throw to him or that he couldn't throw it to him, I doubt it. And if you want to say he needs a little bit more help, fine. I would love to see them get him help, but right now he's not gonna get it. This is what the team is that he has.
Well, the other point that this author made is that while he still has the touch and accuracy and all of that stuff, but what opponents are doing is, he says, opponents like the Titans, Dolphins, and Steelers have successfully choked off Brady's short passing options, in effect challenging him to throw downfield, and that, you know, the Chargers, with a unbelievable pass rush, an innovative seven defensive back personnel tactic, have a clear handle on what Brady can and cannot do and what they'll be able to take away.
Well, I mean, if they go seven defensive backs the whole time, don't you think Sony Michel can do that?
Yeah, they're going to run all day.
Like, and I'm not saying he's one of these all-time great running backs by any means, but I think against that, but on the inside. But if the rush is just coming from outside of the tackles, doesn't Brady always just step up? It's when he has pressure up the middle, it seems like, where he has the biggest problem. And so if they just do the thing where they just go nuts and they just try to, you know, fly past Cannon or fly past Brown, I feel like Brady's just going to step up and complete throws. We'll see. Those guys are elite pass rushers. They could change it up. They can come at you from different angles.
Well, the other thing that could change that this weekend, and it would be a change, is whether or not Gronk is better. I mean physically better, because it's been pretty clear when we've been watching him, he is not the same guy.
I mean, the week off helps. I mean, look at some of his best games, and they came. First of all, the first game of the season was his best game, so that's as healthy as you can possibly be.
That's as good as you feel.
So that was a good game. And then when he missed the game, had the bye week against Miami, he shows up and was pretty good. Now they defended him like idiots, but still, he was productive in that game. So that maybe you look at the bye week and you say, all right, you know, he should be as healthy as he's been in several weeks anyway, and hopefully he could be pretty good. I wouldn't hold my breath on that. And then one thing on that article is, it can you possibly say in the same paragraph essentially that Tom Brady is just a veteran game manager, but then also follow that up by saying there's nobody better in the fourth quarter
of the Super Bowl?
Of the Super Bowl. How can that be?
Because of his track record, I guess, because he's performed at the highest level in the fourth quarter of Super Bowls.
Well, so is Joe Montana.
Even Super Bowl losses.
But so is Joe Montana.
He had put his team in front before, you know, the defense couldn't hold on.
No, but so I'm saying, if that is still in him, and it's not in you forever, like, again, you could dust off Joe Montana right now. He's not going to come back in a fourth quarter. It's just not possible. But if Tom Brady, if you believe that to be true, you wouldn't say, all right, you're down by six, Super Bowl on the line, go get me a game manager. That doesn't make any sense, right? You want a guy that can go out there and make all the throws, and you know the pressure's on and he's fine with that. So, I mean, Brady himself has even said he doesn't really care about the game manager tag. Like, call him whatever you want. People call him a system quarterback. People call him a game manager. It doesn't matter. Most people call him the greatest of all time. And even if he has slipped, this is another point that it ends up being where people are in the same argument and they might both be right, because you could say that he slipped, but you could still say that he is a top 10 quarterback, right? Because if you are slipping from number one, there's only one way to go. When you're the MVP of the league, you're only going to go down. But the question is, how far down do you go?
If this game were played on a neutral site, if this were the Super Bowl and they were playing in Atlanta, Georgia, I would give the edge at quarterback to the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah.
This year, Philip Rivers has been better than Tom Brady.
Rivers has been better. Actually, right now, Brady is the worst quarterback in the AFC playoffs.
That's a scary thought, isn't it?
Isn't it nuts? But those guys are great. Like, that's not even a bad thing for Brady. I think Mahomes, who's going to be the MVP, threw 50 touchdowns. Now, there's some uncertainty because he's never played in a playoff game. But if you're just looking at the body of work from this one season, Mahomes was better than Brady. Andrew Luck, especially the last 10 weeks or whatever, better than Brady. And I'm with you. I think Philip Rivers has had a better year than Brady as well.
There are three finalists for the FedEx Air Performer of the Year in the NFL this year. The three finalists.
The Air Performer of the Year?
Yeah, they have an Air and Ground Performer of the Year.
I get it.
So the three finalists are Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, and Philip Rivers. Those are the three finalists for the Air Performer of the Year. He's thrown for over 4,300 yards,
and if you were
32 touchdowns.
If you're going to do three more finalists, they probably still wouldn't include Brady. It's been a huge year for the quarterback. There's been a million guys with 100 QB rating. You know, obviously Mahomes throws for 50 touchdowns. You have a bunch of guys that, I think, what did Luck finish with, 40 or 39, I think, touchdowns. So there's a lot of really good years at the position. So it's not even like, oh, what a terrible year Brady had. When you look at the AFC playoffs right now, the four best quarterbacks from the regular season are the four guys that are still remaining. It's not that difficult. Pick the best quarterbacks, the guys that had the best season. Chances are their teams make it pretty far.
Now, I think that the edge at quarterback in this game would be to Philip Rivers. He's had a better year. I should put it that way.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that is offset by having to travel to the East Coast twice, having to play in weather conditions that are not going to be very pleasant, even if there isn't snow. It's not going to be pleasant for Philip Rivers to be throwing the football around.
True.
So some of that, if I think Philip Rivers has had a better year than Brady, and I do.
Yes.
Some of that gets negated by the fact that he's got to play here.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, but it's funny because the Patriots are 8-0 at home, but the Chargers are 8-1 on the road, which is really tough to do. I mean, that is, the Patriots did it a couple of years ago where they ran the table on the road, which was wildly impressive. Last year, I think they lose one road playoff or one road game.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, the Chargers have had some really impressive wins, including going into Baltimore. I mean, the big takeaway is, Lamar Jackson sucks. Well, they made him look like he sucks. Like,
yeah.
Right? Like the Chargers,
they're really good.
They had a game plan for him, and they knew what they were doing. Now, they're going to have the opposite game plan. But the fact that they were able to diagnose that, at least you know they're capable of making adjustments because, oh, by the way, the last time they played Lamar Jackson, they lost to him. So they didn't try to do the exact same thing. They learned from that. So that kind of speaks to coaching. And so they did a nice job. They seem to be one of those teams, though, that's not fazed by going on the road this year.
Do you buy into the and some people will say this. I don't care about the regular season. You put Tom Brady in the playoffs, he's better. He's just better than everybody.
I mean, I think he's better than everybody. Normally better than everybody all the time. Like preseason, regular season, it doesn't really matter. I think he's had a nice run of playoff games. Was it five straight that he's put up really good numbers? But then he had the other game where, was it the Texans game 2 years ago, where thankfully Brock Osweiler is just awful because Brady was not good in that game. They actually did a really nice job on Brady. And ultimately, I think the Patriots, you know, probably covered whatever the spread was, but it was an uncomfortable game. Remember that one a couple years ago? So Brady's definitely had playoff games where he doesn't look like he is this number one quarterback of all time performances. So, no, I mean, I think if anything, the quarterback position could be a wash this weekend.
According to ESPN's Football Power Index, the team most likely to win the Super Bowl this year is the Saints. 26.5% chance.
Home game, dome game. Yeah.
Number two is the Chiefs, 25.3%.
Home field advantage. That makes sense.
Number three is the Rams, 17.1%.
All right.
Number four is the Patriots, 12.4%, followed by the Chargers at 8.5%.
Now, did that come out before the playoffs started, or was that a
new
one?
No, that's right now, resetting the eight teams who are left.
Yep.
They look at the eight teams that are left. The least likely team to win the Super Bowl of the eight teams remaining is the Eagles.
Yeah, they're going to love that. They're probably going to wear the stupid dog masks again, aren't they? They're going to show up with those.
The next least likely is the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Then the Colts. I'm reading from the bottom now, working up. So what you've got is the four teams that are going on the road this weekend have a less chance of winning than the four teams that are going to be at home.
Well, it makes sense because all four teams that are at home are all favorites. And in fact, the closest game right now, at least according to Vegas, is the Patriots game. Which is pretty, I mean, I guess it makes sense, even though I like the Colts to go into Kansas City and win, but, you know, I guess Vegas doesn't like them nearly as much. Or, I mean, the Chargers have just had such a good season that you don't want to make that number too big.
On the list of concerns that you have for the Patriots going into this weekend, you would think that quarterback would be fairly low on the list. But depending on what you read out there, it might be higher than you think. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll talk to Willie McGinnis at the bottom of the hour. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.